Coming up on 303 in the Fast Lane, time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. You know that when the Shady Creek Yacht Club is on board, that you have good things happening, that things are going your way.
You aren't lying. I mean, that is the type of backing that you need in any championship run, is the Yacht Club.
Are we able to check, by the way? I think we have the ability to check on the mic drops whether or not that was Biff or Tad that was calling in from the Yacht Club.
I'm not possible.
It may have been Biff. I think it was.
You think it was Biff?
Okay. Yeah,
Biff
for sure.
Usually gets fired up around this point. You know, the point where the Blues are one game away from a Stanley Cup Final Championship. That's when Biff gets going.
This is exactly like it was during the playoffs for the Rams in 1999. The first time that we had ever experienced playoff football. This is the first time, obviously, that we've experienced Stanley Cup Final hockey, and I love the way our town is. Everybody is buzzing, and we've talked about it so many millions of times, but doesn't the town feel galvanized right now?
I mean, Randy, you kind of know my background, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider me a baseball guy?
Yes, I would.
All right, yeah, me too. I would consider myself a baseball guy. And if you were going to run across a baseball guy like myself at a grocery store or at the bank or where else did I go today? Oh, Ballpark Village. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, you'd think you'd ask me questions about baseball, right?
Yeah.
I have not got a baseball question. Dude, it is Blues all day, and honestly, it's what I love talking about right now. This is fun. This is galvanizing, and I don't want to say, I don't care is the wrong way to say this, but when it comes to being excited about this, it doesn't matter if you have been true blue since the beginning. Or you just recently got in. You can share these moments together. And look, it's been awesome seeing all the watch parties. Watching Enterprise when there is not a game there. The place is packed to the gills. Meat's in there, cheering, drinking all the beer, eating Randy's nuts that he found on
Did
the
you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a handful of them, Randy.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, couldn't get enough. He was sharing it with his friends.
Raj had some?
Yeah, no, everybody was getting in on that.
Yeah, it was great.
But to me, it's just so cool to see it. And once again, you don't want to get overboard. You don't want to go too far.
Right.
And you realize that there is another game left to play. But Randy, you and me, I mean, we're not the ones playing it, right? So maybe we can think just a second about how epic it's going to look potentially after that win. A parade, excitement, tears, joy. Everything about it is going to be ridiculous if it happens.
It's incredible. Last last
getting
night,
all choked up already, are you? Oh my God!
Ryan O'Reilly scores in the first minute of the second period, and the Blues maintain that 1-0 lead. Then that very clean and well played David Perron goal at 10:36 of the third period, and everybody, I'm sure. Just appreciated the artistry. Whether you're in Boston or St. Louis, you had to appreciate that goal, right?
Yeah, clean and well played on paper at the very least.
Yeah. So from that, from O'Reilly's goal to Perron's goal until the 13:32 mark of the third when Jake DeBrus scored to make it 2-1, I had kept my feet up on we have like a Chase Lounge couch, and I keep my one Blues shoe over the other. And after DeBrus scored, I tried to get up, and my leg was asleep.
I'm actually a little bit surprised that you can watch the game with your legs up. I actually peg you for more on the edge of the seat, staring at the screen, leaning in, and maybe aggressively eating something.
No.
Like, that's what I can see you doing.
I can be relaxed. And actually, Moose, our the dog, sits on my right leg, so he's right next to my right leg. And no, when the Blues have an opportunity, here we go. Or when Binnington makes a save, you know, you get a little fist pump. Yeah. But no, I'm not an aggressive on the edge of the seat watcher.
So what the hell's wrong with me then? Because that's how I'm watching these games.
Everybody watches in a different
way. I don't understand how you can relax and me not having the history that I have with it. I can't put my feet up.
I'm not relaxed. I couldn't.
You can't move.
I was not going to move my leg because it would be bad luck if I did.
Oh, Christ. Okay, I didn't understand.
That's why. I would have died. I would have died for that team last night. I would have gotten those blood clots like that.
Would you have peed your couch if you had to?
If it goes in, yeah.
Got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. How about Jordan Binnington? Was he incredible?
Awesome,
and
man.
He's Kurt Warner. He might not know who Kurt Warner is, but he is the Kurt Warner of the St. Louis Blues.
Well,
the parallels of the two stories are so amazing, and now it looks like they're both going to win championships when they get their opportunities. Obviously, Binnington didn't work in a Hy-Vee stacking the shelves overnight, and he isn't as old as Kurt was when Kurt got his chance and didn't get his chance because of an injury. But two guys that plied their trade for a long time, had to go to a lot of different places before getting the chance unexpectedly at the big-time level, and then right off the bat carries their team to, in Binnington's case, the brink of a championship.
It's what every kid dreams of. Yeah. Like when you're talking talking about the potential of playing any sport at the highest level, that's why I got so excited over the weekend or beginning of the week watching the Major League Baseball draft and just seeing, all right, you got first rounders, and mm-hmm. that's awesome, and they're rich already, and it's great. You got 40th rounders, too,
right,
that have a chance. And guess what you also have is undrafted free agents that are out there that are going to get a chance somewhere. And guess what? Some of these guys are going to fight. They're going to get through. They're going to get an opportunity at some point. They're going to run with it. They're going to do amazing things. And that's been Jordan Binnington. And he has been calm. He's been cool. He's been collected. He has done such a great job of any time he has faced adversity. He doesn't have his head down. He comes right back the next day, and he's ready. And all of the questions that we've had throughout the year, and rightfully so. Like, you just don't know what you don't know. You don't know how a guy's going to react. I'm pretty sure that he's told us everything that we need to know. 38 saves last night. It's a record. It's the most saves ever by a rookie in a Stanley Cup final game. He just keeps piling up accolades, and you can tell by the way the team reacts with him and the team interacts with him, the respect that they have for
right.
that guy.
He's fantastic. And by the way, in series clinching potential games this year already, 3-0 with a 947 save percentage and a 1.33 goals
Ow.
Against. Now, last night was not without controversy.
Oh, you're tripping. What?
In the third period, for whatever reason, Noah Achari of the Bruins just took a run at Tyler Bozak's stick.
Oh,
and it was the most blatantly illegal play that you could ever imagine.
Well,
he tried to just, with his legs, run the stick right out of Bozak's hands.
Well, and it didn't work out very well for him. I did think that it was a very good approach afterwards, though, of having a failed effort, as you just mentioned, to just sit there and watch everything else unfold. I thought that that was a bold strategy, Cotton.
Well, he acted like he was concussed.
What happened?
Yeah.
Did they just score?
Yeah. And then,
is this bad?
He told his coach, Bruce Cassidy, that the plan didn't really work out. So Cassidy took it in his own hands.
I sat here 2 days ago or whatever it was, and I believe these officials are at this level because they've earned the right to be here, and you should be getting the best. But, I mean, the narrative changed after game three. There was a complaint or whatever put forth by the opposition, and it just seems to have changed everything. I mean, the non-call on Achari, their player's on his way to the box. I mean, they're the only – it's right in front of the official. It's a slew foot. Our guy's gone. The spotter took him took him out of the game for a possible concussion. I mean, it's blatant. It's a big effect in the game. I mean, this has happened. I'm a fan of the game. It's the National Hockey League getting a black eye with their officiating this playoffs. And here's another one's going to be talked about. I thought it was a great hockey game. That call probably – I mean, there's time, but it really made it difficult for us to get the win tonight. So I'm disappointed. So I guess to answer your original question, it was egregious. But we're moving on. We're getting ready for game six.
It's egregious. I'm not sure what municipality in the Boston metro area Bruce Cassidy lives in. But if I had to guess, he lives in Walpole.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. Just real quick, real quick moment of honesty. It is nice to be on the other end of one of them.
Yes,
it is nice to
no
be on that end, and then to be able to cash it in. And just with his the way that he handled the media there, look, it's smart. It's smart to do that because Craig Berube did do that a very similar way. It didn't sound as whiny.
Subtle, right.
Yeah. But he did do that. He addressed he addressed the officials, and maybe it did help a little bit. And that's part of the gamesmanship right here. Look, you still have to make plays afterwards. You still have to be able to go out there and do your job. You still can't sit there on the ice after a non-call and let a play develop that you're out of right there. So, you don't like to play better, I guess.
Yeah, bottom line. Now, Berube talked to the St. Louis media today upon the Blues' arrival back from Boston.
We're going to focus on playing the game. It goes both ways. Like I've said, there's calls either way that could be made, and some are made, some aren't made. So that's just the way we look at it.
Their approach is perfect because they are always looking forward. And last night, I don't think their Boston locker room, dressing room, could have been more diametrically opposed to the Blues after Game 3 against San Jose than it was.
Yeah, well, there was a lot more talk of the non-call. There wasn't much talk. If anybody did mention the we have to move forward, it was a lot in the way that Cassidy did it, where it was at the end of a rant, and then it was like, well, we have to move forward, obviously. The Blues were able to let stuff go. Now, they don't let that stuff go in their heart of hearts, but you're going to let it go outside because you can't. There is nothing you can do about stuff like that. There is nothing you can do about a non-call. There's nothing you can do about a call that shouldn't have been called. All you can do is play the game that's in front of you. Officials are going to screw up. They're going to do it in every single sport. They're going to do it in the beginning of the season. They're going to do it in the Stanley Cup final. Like, that is part of it, but you've got to be able to adapt and adjust.
BT, there might be a race to Sunday between the gods above and the St. Louis Blues. Do I die first, or do the Blues win the cup first?
No. Well, Randy, you're not dying at all. You're gonna enjoy this. You're gonna have so much fun.
It's unbelievable what we're dealing with. And I've got a piece up at 101ESPN.com. You can check it out. We'll talk about it next. I really did think that the Blues would go my entire life without winning, but now I think they're gonna win. That's next on 101 ESPN. Great to hear from you with the mic drop feature and the 101 ESPN app. We'd love to hear from you during this segment, too. 65780 is our Hot Shots text line. And, BT, I looked it up last night. The first game I ever went to was October 30th of 1971. The Blues tied the Flyers 4-4. And people that were at that were able to sit at the old arena know that if you sat in the blue seats, the middle level, you couldn't see the scoreboard. So they had to put up televisions. They hung up giant TV tubes so that they could take a shot of the scoreboard, and that's how you knew what the score was. And I remember that. I remember the smoke wafting over the ice because everybody smoked. I remember the fights. I remember one of the very few television games was a game in Philadelphia where Bob Plager and Noel Picard and several others went up into the stands. And when I was a kid, I never thought about the Blues winning a Stanley Cup. I thought, this is Montreal's domain. They won five Stanley Cups when I was a kid in the 70s. And then it became Edmonton's domain, and then Pittsburgh's domain, and some other teams became perennial Stanley Cup winners. And I just, once I reached the point where I was in my 30s, I thought, this is, a championship is just not in the cards for the Blues. Until now, I never really thought a championship was in the cards for the Blues.
You're just happy to be here, huh?
I am.
Just one of those things. Happy to take it in, happy to go on a run. It is crazy to believe, and I guess it's not so crazy when you heard the open right there of all of the things that didn't quite go the Blues' way over the years to get to this point. And we've spent plenty of time over the years talking about different teams' droughts and droughts that have come to an end. And we saw Boston, who, Lord knows, it feels like a long time ago that they had a drought. But they did, as far as baseball goes. That drought was broken in 2004. And I've got a feel that their fan base felt like that, too, as far as Red Sox fans. It was like, you know what? It just ain't going to happen. The Yankees are our daddy. That's just what it is, and we're just going to be here.
And believed in curses, too.
Oh, certainly did. It certainly did. And the Cubs, same way. I mean, same exact thing. But then those curses, if you want to go that way, but those droughts, no doubt about it, were broken. And it's got to be an amazing feeling to realize. It is an amazing feeling to realize that it's three periods potentially away. That it is one game away. It is that one horn where you can celebrate like you have never celebrated in your life, and that's pretty awesome.
It struck me the other day that after he left Montreal, Scotty Bowman went to work for the Sabres and has maintained a residence in Buffalo, still lives in Buffalo. And who do they send out? And maybe at the behest, maybe Scotty Bowman whispered in somebody's ear, hey, send the O'Reilly kid to St. Louis. And maybe Scotty Bowman ended the curse for us. Certainly, that mojo that was in that city, Ryan O'Reilly brought the Scotty Bowman stuff here, the good Scotty Bowman stuff, and he is playing great. Some text, 65780. Hey, we've talked about these Blues, and it's so nice to hear how happy you are, we're happy for you. Let's go, Blues. I'm glad that people are happy for me. And I wrote in the piece, there are people that have been at it longer. There are people that are more intense. I know for a fact there are people that spend 40 or more percent of their income on Blues season tickets.
Yes, vacations, all these new vehicles.
They take vacation for training camp.
Right, that is what it is, and that's where they want to spend their money. That's what they work hard for, and what a dedication. Randy, I know this because I've seen a lot of them. There are a lot of people that it didn't take a Stanley Cup win to have Blues tattoos. Seen a bunch of them, too. Those people seem to be fairly bought in as well. There are a lot of people that are in on this.
Yeah, and so I'm so happy for our community. And the other thing this will do, and Brett Hall lifted the Blues to a height where those kids that were drafted in the first round, five kids in the first round a few years ago, that was a product of Brett Hall's greatness. Winning a championship will change things even more and make this even more of a Blues-centric town. The Blues are going to open up a new rink, not just the Blues, but the Legacy Ice Center is going to open. The Centene Ice Center is going to open in Maryland Heights next year, right down the street from where we are in Maryland, in Chesterfield. There's a new rink opening up with, I believe, five different rinks on it. So youth hockey will get bigger and bigger in St. Louis. And I have to believe that the Stanley Cup will even get more people and more kids interested in the sport.
It just, first of all, just from a national standpoint, you win a Stanley Cup, it just puts you on the map. You win any national or major championship, it puts you on the map. But certainly with when it comes to youth hockey, it winning gets you going. Having an entire community, as we were joking around before, you go anywhere, people are talking about Blues hockey. Kids are in on that. They see what you're feeding off of, how excited you are about it. And maybe these are kids that have never picked up a stick or a puck in their life and say, man, I would like to try that. I want to do that. I've got my kids yelling at my son. It's summertime now, so I got him staying up late and watching Blues games.
That's great.
And he is running around. He's going crazy. He's loving it. And he keeps saying, he's like, I want to play this. I want to play hockey. I'm like, all right, dude, we'll give it a try. Like, stuff like this, it changes not only one year. This isn't one special run. This can change the course of history for some people, for some kids, for some families.
And it's different than a Cardinal championship. The Cardinals are victims of their great success over the years because the expectation is there that the Cardinals are going to win a championship. I honestly, like I said, I never expected that the Blues were going to win the final game of the season because of all the stuff. And I've run down the litany, just like we heard from the mic dropper, the litany of things that have happened to prevent the Blues from winning a championship. Winning now is so sweet for this community because since the Rams left in 2016, we've had the PGA, and that was great, but we haven't had a St. Louis team win a championship. And this, to me, is a win that our entire community needs.
Oh, big time. And it's so – we talked about it when the Blues first just made the playoffs. Like, wow, what a magical run that was. Mm-hmm. And the talk that you're going to hear again in the game tomorrow, you'll hear about it all throughout the course of history now, is the Blues being in the basement in January and how just never thought that it was going to happen for them. And then just getting there was an achievement. Well – that achievement after the first round victory, it was like, man, there's more in it for this team. And they've kept showing it over and over again. And the city has just grown. The excitement has grown and grown and grown. I just love to see it overflow. And that's what's going to happen maybe Sunday.
Bernie Miklas writes that if the Blues do win on Sunday, he believes, Bernie, that it would be the greatest single evening in St. Louis sports history. And it's hard to argue with that because the emotional bond to this franchise, obviously, is greater than any emotional bond we built up with the Rams when they were here. And like we said earlier, because of the expectations of the Cardinals, it's hard to compare this with 1926 when the Cardinals won there first.
I personally can't.
I can't either.
Randy, you can't either. No, and to be able to – you win a Stanley Cup. I don't care how you do it. Don't care where you do it. It's special. But if you were able to do it on Sunday, if you were able to do it here in front of your fans – where they have, I mean, for blocks, just a sea of people. And, I mean, this was a funny talking point the other day, too. We've been saying sea of blue here recently, way more so than sea of red. God, I mean, it's hard to argue. I don't feel like you can put, just because of expectations, I don't see how you can put a World Series above that moment necessarily.
It has a chance to be awesome. Coming up next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And by the way, check out all of the great work by all of our people at 101ESPN.com. We are going to go from my story of lifetime fandom to another. Dennis Dodd of CBSSports.com is a friend of the show, a lifelong Blues fan who we had a chance to see at Enterprise Center the other night. He joins us next on 101 ESPN. Our friend, former Cardinal left-hander Ken Daly, just stopped by the Buffalo Wild Wings here in Chesterfield Valley. One year, he had Tommy John surgery in October and then came back the next May. And obviously, there were extenuating circumstances. That's 8 months, BT.
Yeah, I was doing it on my hands. Yeah. You saw me there. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Today,
that's a man right there.
Didi Gregorius of the Yankees activated 8 months after Tommy John surgery to play shortstop for them.
Well, that is a little bit different. Are the Yankees getting healthy all of a sudden?
It looks like
they got their shortstop back. Yeah, starting to trickle in a little bit. I'm actually amazed that the Yankees have been able to do what they've done with everybody that they've had on the IL. Man, it's been a crazy year for them, but they're a good ball club. Yeah, talent plays. Look, they've drafted well, they've developed well, and they've plugged the holes pretty well.
Meanwhile, the Cardinals are playing today in Chicago, and they trail 3-0 in the seventh inning, and the Cardinal offense continues to struggle. Javi Baez hit an early home run for the Cubbies, and the Cardinals haven't been able to plate a single run. Miles Michaelis hit by a batted ball in that game and was removed in after the fourth.
Yeah, it was hit him right off of like the right outside of his forearm, right below the elbow, it appeared. And you kind of know when you get hit right there, you're not going to be able to come back. I've been hit there before. You kind of lose feeling of the hand, and it's going to be very hard to have any feel for his pitches. So this game is still attainable for the Cardinals. They can still come back. But, man, the offense has struggled here recently. They're fortunate the starting pitching has been pretty darn good here recently
really good.
For the Cardinals. The bullpen has looked really good. It was a nice one yesterday with the pen for the Cardinals. Having Miller come in to get Votto, that's why you sign him, is to bring him into ball games like that to get the job done. John Gant has been a freaking beast. He has been so good in any type of game you put him in. You put him into a game where you just need a ground ball. All right, bing, bang, boom, there's a ground ball. You need a punch out? Yeah, I got something for you, too. We've talked about his off-speed so much, the Vulcan change and the good breaking ball. Dude's throwing 97, and he's spotting it. He can throw it down and away. He can throw it up for chase. Gant's been fantastic.
And I'm interested in that the Cardinals have not chosen to even consider him for the starting rotation. He was
a
starter, and it's because he's been so good in the bullpen.
I'm not moving him.
And I don't think that you've seen enough from Carlos Martinez to believe that he can be as effective as Gant has been out of the bullpen. I agree with you.
Why rob Peter to pay Paul, I think, at this point? I mean, there's no point. He is serving a big-time role. He's in a role where he can affect every single game. And I'm not taking him out of that. Do I think that he would have success in the rotation? Certainly.
Yeah.
I absolutely do. But I think that you can get that elsewhere potentially. I'm not sure that you can replicate what he's doing in the pen.
Hockey, the Blues will probably be without Ivan Barbashev on Sunday night. He faces a hearing from the National Hockey League's Player Safety Committee after what the league has already termed an illegal check to the head.
I
don't think that the hearing is that necessary.
Well, how are the legal checks of the head? Are they cool?
That's a great question. I don't know. But the player safety tweeted today, St. Louis Ivan Barbashev will have a hearing today for an illegal check to the head on Boston's Marcus Johansson. So safe to assume that Barbashev will not be available for the Blues on Sunday night in Game 6.
It's like going to a trial of a guilty man.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Meat's got jury duty on Monday, apparently.
Yeah, good luck with
He's trying to get out of it.
Yeah, good luck with that,
of
America.
Just in case anybody is listening that has anything to do with Meat's jury duty.
Yeah, federal. It's federal downtown.
Yeah. We need Meat on Monday. Monday, arguably, is going to be the biggest show that the Fast Lane has ever had.
Yep.
It's going to be a celebration, and we can't do it with a replacement player. I'm sorry.
Can we get some help in getting Meat out of federal jury duty on Monday? Text 65780 if you have that ability to help Meat out. And he's going to and he says we've got a replacement producer, but we can't have a replacement producer on Monday.
No, we don't want that.
Meanwhile, the Blues didn't play their best game last night, and Alexander Steen, as the Blues deplaned today, getting back from Boston, Steiner was asked, The plane.
Yes,
the plane.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. Thank you.
We were kind of
tattooed. Thank you for doing it.
Yeah. He was asked how the Blues can be better in Game 6.
There's a few things I think that we can build off of from last game, but also there's definitely some things that we want to improve on. I thought, you know, coming out of the gate in the first period, we could have been a little bit closer to each other, more connected as a group, and kind of get that our line changes rolling a little bit more. We'll look at all that stuff tomorrow.
Look at it tomorrow and then play on Sunday. And there's going to be, obviously, the massive watch party outside of Enterprise Center. If you have tickets, congratulations to you. Tickets are off the charts expensive right now on the secondary market.
Yeah, they
but
are.
It should be a fantastic day and night in the city and the community of St. Louis.
It's going to be the coolest. It's going to be the greatest. I have been on the lookout recently in the last couple of days for really good friends. Really good friends. Looking for one of those still.
I don't think any of us have friends that good.
No, no. No, you're right. You probably don't. You probably already have a really good friend that you're spending some time with. By the way, I love the talk there about continually making adjustments. So you have to. We won't see any different style of play for the Blues, even though they have an advantage. Everybody knows the numbers, the percentages when a team is up right here. It's hard to win back-to-back games. Very difficult. The Blues are going to come out like they're the ones behind. They're going to come out aggressive and right off the bat. What a difference it is when you score first, too. You take a little bit of pressure off. You're in your building. The place goes nuts. That's what I want to see Sunday.
I wonder, after yesterday, they get Chara back. They get a great performance from Tuukka Rask. They're playing intense hockey. I wonder how much better of a shot Boston can deliver the Blues than they did last night. And they were on home ice. I kind of think the Blues took and overcame Boston's best shot last night. Now, that doesn't mean the Blues aren't going to be able to give any less on Sunday night. They have to come out and expect that it's even going to be more intense and better from Boston. But I don't know that Boston can deliver a better shot than that.
Maybe not, but every game does have a life of its own. Mm-hmm. You just never know. One puck bounces the wrong way, and then all of a sudden, maybe it's the Blues that are chasing it. And Boston has been in this spot before. I mean, they've battled back and won series. So, to me, I don't know if you can lean on that as much and hope, but it did feel like it didn't feel like they were going to be able to do it, but they did it this postseason. I mean, it was against Toronto that they were in the same position. They won two games and ended up, you know, winning the series. Pedal to the metal. Yep. By the way, and not to say anything pro-Boston here, but I did get a little bit of the feels when they showed Zdeno Chara in there with
yeah, it was pretty cool.
I'm like, oh, my, tough guy. That's a man.
That's hockey.
Now, I
right
did
there.
Want somebody to come over and just fish hook him, you know, stick the finger in his mouth. That's what I was hoping for. Like, right as it was, like, the 30 seconds on him, just one of the Blues stick a finger in there, but that didn't happen.
I hope he has a really stuffy nose on Sunday.
Oh, it's going to be tough to do sprints with a stuffy nose,
yes,
Randy.
Yes, it is. And good news for Meat here, although the Chiefs kind of have a dilemma. Prosecutors in Johnson County, Kansas, are not actively working a criminal investigation into possible child abuse involving Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill. So they aren't working a criminal investigation. But we did hear the tape that his fiance recorded it with him. So if you're the Chiefs and you know he's not being investigated, but you also know that there's some sketchy stuff that happened there, how do you approach it?
You suspend his ass is what you do. And you have to. And you have to do it. You have to be firm with it. And you're probably, if you get extremely firm, and I would think baseline for me is half the season, okay? Baseline for me is at least 8 games, and honestly, I would love to see a full season. Now, the team's probably not going to do that, but even if they go 8 games, if there's not a criminal charge, there's going to be blowback from the players' union. There's going to be there could be potential lawsuits in there also. If I am the Chiefs, I stand behind it. Say, all right, well, this is what we're doing. And if I'm the league, I stand behind the Chiefs and say, hey, you can penalize your players how you want. If you want to change things, if you want to break the cycle, you have to quit letting things go. And the NFL just continues to let things go.
The second half of the season for the Chiefs, by the way, Vikings at Titans, Chargers, Raiders at Patriots, Broncos at home, at Bears and Chargers. So you get them back for the most important part of the season. And by the way, Kelce and Mahomes are our guys now, right? Since they showed up at the Blues game?
Well, yeah, I think that counts.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are fine. They've done nothing illegal.
No. So we like them.
Yes.
So those are your hot topics of the day here on 101 ESPN from Buffalo Wild Wings in Chesterfield Valley. We'd love to have you stop by and say hi. We'll be here until 7 o'clock. Our online Call of Duty tournament is officially underway, and you can enter and play now through June 16th. Free to enter, and you can play for your share of up to a grand. Plus, grab the code word, available only at your local Buffalo Wild Wings, and text in to win a trip for two to Las Vegas and get special offers from B-Dubs. You'll have the chance to take on Meat in a game of FIFA later on. A battle will go out on Facebook Live, and you'll play for bragging rights and a B-Dubs gift card. It all takes place at the conclusion of today's broadcast, but you have to be here to play. And the loser gets to take part in a wing challenge, and the Facebook fans will choose the reward. Buffalo Wild Wings, the only place to watch playoffs with wall-to-wall TVs, great food, and great drinks. Coming up, a win in Game 5 was a huge step forward for the Blues, but did it take the life out of Boston? That's next on 101 ESPN. Jamie Rivers this morning on the Bernie Show on 101 ESPN and Jackson Brown, of course. And we talked earlier in a different manner of speaking about what Jamie just said. I think that Craig Berube can honestly go to his team and say, fellas, you just took their best shot. Now you go out and flatten them. And I do think that if the Blues, especially if they come out and get to their game early on Sunday night, I think that they can demoralize the Bruins a little bit. It happens in situations like this where when you see the end of the tunnel and there's no light or it's a train coming, it tends to demoralize a team.
Have you ever seen a train light coming through a tunnel?
People have, apparently.
I don't think it would demoralize you as much as it would scare the hell out of you in a situation. And Jamie is he's absolutely right. Look, that's how the Blues play. That's how they have their success. They're physical. They give you everything that you've got. And you would have to think, as he mentioned, if you are giving the Blues everything, if you are putting it on them as good as you can, and you come up with nothing. If Jordan Binnington is stonewalling everything. I mean, just look at what the Blues have been able to do to the perfection line. This is a line that scored at will, it seemed like, throughout the playoffs so far, throughout the entire season. And outside of the random four power play goals, four shot game, that line has not been able to get going against the Blues because they're on them all the time. There is no room. The Blues have made adjustments, and they're just playing so physical.
And I think that's the key. And I think that physicality was more beneficial against San Jose because you knocked their guys out of the lineup. You knocked out Pavelski at the end. You knocked out Tomas Hertl. You knocked out Carl. You had other people that were on the edge of not playing. You haven't done that, at least from the standpoint of hitting Boston. You haven't knocked them out, but they've got to be feeling it. And it looks to me like that perfection line, which I guess now would be called the good line.
It's all right.
They look like, especially in third periods, like they slow down. Like the Blues, the way the Blues approach them affects them. And I don't know that anybody has really approached that line like the Blues have by playing offense against them and pounding them against the boards.
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with you've broken their will. I don't think it has anything to do with they're not trying to go out there. I think that you have just slowed them down. That's what you're trying to do. You have physically punished the team so much that they slowed down. Now, to me, the most impressive part about the Blues playing as physical as they have and the way they go about it is they've also done it in a pretty smart way. Like, they're not taking too many dumb shots here and there. And certainly, I mean, you can go back and look at the Sundquist one, which, by the way, I still didn't even look too bad. It was an awkward turn. He had, whatever. He takes a game. He does what he does.
The Nordstrom hit on Blay is the exact same hit.
It was. And the difference is Blay didn't get hurt. I mean, that ultimately ends up being the difference. The shot that why is his name escaping me right now? Oh, Barbashev. The shot that Barbashev took, it didn't look too bad, but I get it. I mean, it's a shoulder to the head area, so if he ends up getting a game, he gets a game. But overall, those haven't been the hits. It's been the clean ones. It's been the forecheck. It's just been punishing somebody when you get the opportunity, and they've done it.
And don't you think when the Bruins are talking about it and saying, hey, there's a lot of illegal hits that aren't being called, the Blues are in their head a little bit? That punishment that they're taking, they're thinking about it, they're feeling it, and they're talking about it. And it, that's a good thing. If yeah, they're think thinking so. About getting hit the next time.
I think it's two things. One is, as we were talking about off the top, is it's intelligent to use the media. So if you're Cassidy, I mean, you're going to get that out there to see if the officials maybe sway anything your way. But to your point specifically and talking about players, if you're taking a hit and then looking around and waiting for a whistle, chasing the whistle, hoping something happens, well, you're going to find yourself chasing the play is what's going to happen. You can't just hope for those things to go on. You can't just hope, well, maybe that wasn't clean. Well, you got to play the game. And I think the Blues have done a very good job of just playing the game.
By the way, at 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, even the fans are upset.
I know the calls are the calls, but the Bruins are playing like candy asses. I'm sorry. They just are. I mean, they're taking two of our defensemen out, breaking jaws, giving concussions, and the refs are letting it. So basically, my take on this is that the Bruins do not possess the physicality to go against the St. Louis Blues, who went through a tremendously tough Western Conference.
That is correct. I don't think I heard him say the Blues are playing. The Bruins are playing like candy asses.
Yeah, I hope he meant the Bruins are playing like candy asses. Now, I don't think that they set out to break Zdeno Chara's jaw with an errant puck.
And they didn't really let Sundqvist get away with the hit on Grizzly.
Missed the game.
And he did take the penalty, too. So I don't
it is
think
what it is.
Yeah. So the Blues' illegalities but have been recognized and punished by the officials.
But I do think that the end of it was salient. I mean, look what the Blues had to get through to get to this point. Look at the teams they had to defeat, Winnipeg. And, Randy, you said it right off the bat that this could ultimately be one of the biggest tests out of the entire postseason is getting past the Jets. They get past the Stars. They get past the Sharks. I mean, these are teams that can put it on you in different ways. And here they are. I mean, they're still standing, and their style of play has been the same throughout. I mean, this is what they are. This is who they are. They're not the team that beats you 7-2. They're not the team that just blows your doors off, and you're watching the equivalent of an and-one mixtape. Pass on the tape, boom, and score. That's just not exactly what they are at this point. Not to say they're not skilled, but they've been true to their game.
A couple of quick notes. Number one, great headline today in the Post-Dispatch. What a trip.
That's a steady troll job. Yep,
and good. Jimmy Thomas, who does such a great job covering the Blues for STLtoday.com in the Post-Dispatch, pointed out that the referee combo that is going to be in charge on Sunday, when the Blues have them, they're 7-0 this year.
The Blues are 7-0?
Blues are 7-0.
I like this combo.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll be able to
let's not talk about the trend in case officials listen.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the main guy is from South Boston. He's a Southie.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe he's got an agenda.
That could be.
No, I don't think it is. Look, and I know that the officiating has become, I mean, on both sides, by the way. I'm not just talking about Boston fans. And full disclosure, I'd be pissed about that, too. I mean, we'd be talking about it in the same vein that they're talking about.
We did.
You're right. You're absolutely right. We did. But you can't let officiating get you into games. Can't let it take you out of games. You have to go play your game, and that's what the Blues keep doing.
And I do think it would be smart. I know the Boston fans, and that was a realistic one.
It's smart, Randy.
Yeah, Boston radio probably should be paying a little bit more attention to that perfection line than the illegal hits that the Blues are delivering.
You're right. That would be smart. Yeah.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, we have a new participant in the 4 o'clock fight. That is coming your way next on 101 ESPN.